are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com to find all the best prices and best parts for your car or truck. On today's show, a lot to get to. Matt Campbell's offer from the Detroit Lions. Also, Kansas picks up a big transfer. Mac McClung decides to stay in the NBA draft. And we look at the weekend that is upcoming in Big 12 softball because the NCAA tournament is starting this weekend. So a fun show today. We'll discuss the NBA playoffs and Big 12 players that are that you're going to see early next week. So that should be fun as well. But today we're focusing on some of the biggest news and storylines from this weekend in the conference. Hope you all enjoy. All right, let's get into it here today on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. So a lot of news to get to from the week as we're just going through it here. We've got Big 12 softball obviously coming up, NCAA tournament softball at this point coming up this weekend involving Big 12 teams. The NBA playoffs are tipping off, and we've got, obviously that thing too. We've got some Big 12 players in the playoffs. And I want to lead with the story here tonight that is not related to any of those two things. It came to my attention yesterday. I got an update for it. I'm going to read here from NBC Sports, Curtis Crabtree report. Lions offered Iowa State's Matt Campbell 8-year, $68.5 million offer to be their head coach. The Lions end up with Dan Campbell as the new head coach, and it's not really what they wanted. It wasn't really the guy they wanted, but they offered Matt Campbell $68.5 million to leave. And here is the report. In the offseason, Campbell turned down an 8-year, $68.5 million offer from the Lions. This is from Dennis Dodd, by the way, of CBS Sports, who originally reported it. And apparently with full control. And then he decided, that he said he wanted to go to Iowa State. He said, quote, "Now, if I'm Matt Campbell's wife, I'm having some questions, but he sees his upward arch better at Iowa State than, look, the Lions that are annually in disarray. But look, I would take that money and take my chances at disarray for the next 8 years than at Iowa State. But if you want to talk about loyalty, he is the ultimate loyalty guy." So I think this is a really interesting quote about this situation from Dennis Dodd. And I think it's an interesting situation. You ask yourself, would you take the disarray of the Lions for $68.5 million? I think Matt Campbell's best hope here, and it's going to be hard to get him out of Iowa State considering how big his contract is next season, but my perspective on it is this, is that Matt Campbell at Iowa State this season has a very good opportunity to increase his coaching stock with the opportunity that he's going to have with the team that he's going to have this season. He's got a really good shot at building a championship contending team in the Big 12. Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, he has got the ability to do that, to build a potential national championship competition. And with that comes the opportunities that follow for being a coach that makes his team, go to a national championship. Now, if you look at the Matt Campbell current contract, I'm pulling it up right now. I think the buyout is pretty high, but I do believe that even though his contract's very big, people are still going to want to take their shot at him. For example, if a guy like a Jerry Jones really wanted Matt Campbell, he'd be able to get him. The new contract removes the ability for Campbell's $100,000 annual raises in favor of an incentive structure that is once attainable and highly rewarding. Starting Iowa State's seventh win, Campbell will earn an extra $250,000 per win for each Cyclones victory. Last year's 9-3 campaign would have been worth $4.75 million before a $50,000 bonus for winning the Big 12 Coach of the Year award. Realizing the leverage of the coach wasn't what it was in 16-17, Pollard had reduced the Campbell's buyout. The coach would now owe Iowa State just $4 million. Should he leave another job, that $4 million figure remains the same through the contract's December 1st, 2028 expiration. So with that in mind, you know, with how long this contract is, now the incentive-based structure is great for him. I mean, you know, if they win 9 games this season, like, you know, like I said, that's, you know, for every win after the 7th win, it's another $500,000 for Matt Campbell, you know, closing their $1 million. But $250,000 for each win over 7. I mean, like, holy hell, man. Oh, it's starting with the 7th win. So if you win 9 games, yeah, it's $750,000. Yeah, starting with that. It's a very good contract right now. And look, I think with what's going to happen this year, with how good Iowa State's going to be, once again, that $4 million figure would not scare off a professional team with an ownership. I mean, $4 million can be paid with the revenue that the NFL teams generate. I don't think an NFL team would have any problem coming in and saying, look, we'll take the hit. We'll pay the $4 million. We want Matt Campbell, and we want him badly to be the head coach of our National Football League team or even our college team. I think any team, you know, I don't see Matt Campbell leaving Iowa State for another college gig. I think at this point he has, you know, his sights are set for the NFL. I think people really do believe that NFL is his next stop, and I do too, but I know Iowa State fans get mad at me on this podcast about, you know, me basically trying to send off their golden boy, their coach, and I just want to let you guys know I'm not trying to do that. I think this year, you know, it's going to be excellent for Iowa State, and I'd be curious to see what happens beyond this season for the Cyclones and for Matt Campbell, because you have to wonder about how much he's going to leave moving forward and whether or not that's the time, you know, for an amicable split, you know, depending on what he accomplishes this year. But let's see how he does. The report, though, is fascinating. It is fascinating to see. And one last thing, really funny quote here. You know, Dan Campbell said this. He said, quote, just in regards to the head coach search, how I ended up here, one of the things that I would be told my agent, Rick Smith, I said, make sure that they think I'm Matt Campbell. So I think that's how this really worked out so great for me, Campbell said. So now that I'm in the seat, I am Dan Campbell. But I do know this, you can't go wrong with a Campbell, end quote. I love his attitude about it. You know, I kind of like that. And look, they've got a great, great starting base with a guy like Penei Sewell. So we'll see what happens for our good friend Robbie Triano's his Detroit Lions. All right, let's take a break when we come back. Kansas lands a big transfer. We'll tell you who and how it could benefit them next on the show. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by one of our great sponsors here, RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is the best place to find affordable parts for your car or truck. Go to RockAuto.com today. Peruse their catalog of thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. They are the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers, so go to rockauto.com today to check those out. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, so huge news on the hoops front. Former Arizona State guard Remy Martin, the number one ranked transfer in the country, committed to Kansas. Martin confirmed the decision to ESPN via text message, this according to Jeff Borzello. Martin entered the transfer portal last week and immediately emerged as arguably the most sought-after transfer in the country. Martin slotted at the number one spot in ESPN's transfer ratings, a status strengthened once Minnesota's Marcus Carr, the previous number one, announced that he would be focusing on the NBA draft process and was unlikely to return to college. Now, Remy Martin was a preseason All-American. And we know that, you know, I mean, he didn't have the season he wanted, and Arizona State did not have the season that they wanted either. But I think looking forward for Kansas, this is a massive coup. This is, you know, that this team is going to be able to turn around next year and you know, have a guy who is a consensus All-American, I believe, you know, preseason coming into the year. To have a guy like that, how can you not be pleased? I mean, how can you not be pleased? This team, I also, in my opinion, is really, I think it's improving. I think when you feel about, you know, the addition of Joseph Yesufu. You feel about, you know, Christian Brown getting better. DeJuan Harris trying to get him to improve. Jalen Wilson's declared for the draft, but he's eligible to return. I think they've got a lot of really good players on this team. And, you know, you can't forget about Oshai Baji, who's currently available to return. You know, think about guys like David McCormick, right? Mitch Lightfoot is going to come back as well. I know he's not a, you know, great player at this point, but that's another guy who's going to give them some real flexibility. So, you know, they also get transfers like Cam Martin coming in from Missouri Southern State. You know, they got guys, I know they've got Sidney Curry coming in from Johnny Logan College. They've got a bunch of guys across the board coming in to help this team out. And also don't forget about their really good freshman class they've got coming in. So I think if you look across the Big 12, you know, this makes me think about what else is happening. And you got to think about, hey, what is Chris Beard building at Texas right now? He has done a really good job of continuing to build that roster. Kansas and Texas on the fly have done a great job. And then let's not even forget about the job that Porter Mosier has done at Oklahoma. I know it's really difficult considering what they've lost, right? Losing Davion Harmon was huge. But if you look at OU basketball, the job that Porter Mosier has done, increasing the guys who are going to be there, you know, getting the Groves brothers, right, from the state of Washington, getting them to come from Eastern Washington and now come and play for OU, that's huge. So I love the way that these teams have hit the transfer market. I think West Virginia's got a chance to be really good, obviously, if they get the right guys back. But OU's bringing back Jalen Wilson and Moja Gibson. You know, they lose Davion Harmon, obviously, Davion Harmon and Austin Reeves. But they've got a chance to be really good. I think they'll be really, really good moving forward and going into next season. So I think all of these teams are hitting the transfer market well, but in terms of Remy Martin, kind of breaking things down, this is a dynamic player who can come in and be a leader, even though he has not been with the program that long. I mean, this guy is playing his fourth year of college basketball. He's played 30 games in 17-18, 18-19, and 19-20, at least 30 games in all those seasons. Last year in 2021, he averaged 19 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.2 steals. He was a pretty decent shooter last year, 43% from the floor, 35% from three, 78% from the line. So Remy Martin is just going to add a new dimension to this Jayhawks offense, and I think he and Yesufu as a backcourt has a dynamic scoring punch is really interesting, especially you add in David McCormick in some pick and roll situations with all those guys together. That would be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you got to credit Bill Self, man. You know, he said that the FBI investigation could be slowing things down for them. And that appears not to be the case, not to be the case in too big of a way that, you know, especially for transfers, he's still able to convince those guys to come in and play for him. So credit to Bill Self for building this team. And Remy Martin is a huge addition. I think it's awesome. You could argue now they have the best backcourt in the Big 12 with Martin and Yesufu. I mean, the backcourts feel like they're going to be stacked next year as well. But I think right now you could definitely argue that Kansas appears to have the best backcourt heading into next season. Now, could Bryce Thompson come back and be great? I know he's played more of a forward, but could Bryce Thompson and Avery Anderson be really good backcourt? And, you know, could Deuce McBride come back alongside Taz Sherman and McNeil? Sure, they definitely could all come back. That could happen. But still, I think you like your chances. The scorer like Yesufu and a consistent player of Remy Martin's quality, I think that bodes very well for them moving forward. I think it's right to be excited for the season. Also, other piece of news this week, I haven't mentioned it, but Mac McClung saying that he is going to stay in the draft process. Look, I like Mac. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good kid as well. Good leadership, tough player. He's not good enough to be an NBA player. I don't look at him and say Mac McClung, NBA player. Now, if he could play defense, you know, if he works on his defense and his three-point shooting, sure. But his three-point shooting last season was not good enough for us to, you know, to make any reasonable assertion about him being good at the next level. He was 42% from the floor, 34% from three, 79% from the line. So not bad numbers, but not great. And you look back the following seasons, 39% from the floor, 32% from three. The following year before that, 39% on the floor, 28% from three. So while he has made improvement, I don't see him as the type of player that, you know, I mean, you kind of wonder what is his utility in the NBA. I think you could argue that the way you deploy him is really, you know, second unit scorer, right? That's kind of the vibe that he has. But he's a volume shooter, and not all the time is a volume good, right? There's a lot of bad shots in there. Sometimes there's some turnovers. In those last four games he played, the Baylor loss where he had 7 points and did not play that well in 30 minutes. The Texas game where he had 7 points and he had 4 turnovers in that contest in the Big 12 championship game, right? I think we all look at that game and think, yeah, pretty rough for Mac McClung. And then you go look at the NCAA tournament. Nice first game, 16 points, but you could argue that in the tournament, Texas Tech, in that game especially too, Texas Tech at times in that contest was a bit better with Mac off the floor than on the floor. So I think that game, you know, 16-2 is not that good. It kind of shows that, even though it's 3-for-6-for-3. And in the final game, 9 points, 2-of-6 shooting in 35 minutes against Arkansas. He was on the floor the entire time, and I thought he did a pretty good job defensively in that game, 4-for-7 on the line too, which wasn't great. But yeah, that wasn't like an outstanding offensive performance. I don't know. I know that nobody really did have any outstanding offensive performances in that game, but I think I do worry about his defense and really how good is his offense. Is his offense good enough to translate to him being a good scorer at the next level, an efficient scorer at least? When we say good scorer, I mean efficient scorer at the next level. I think you have to legitimately ask those questions of Mac McClung. All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the schedule for Big 12 softball now that the NCAA tournament has started. Plenty of Big 12 teams in action tomorrow. We'll tell you about that next. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the best place for you guys to get on all your sports action, MLB, NHL, NBA, UFC, Bellator, all those places. You can go to betonline.ag today and place your wagers there. You can sign up for free on your tablet or your smartphone. And once again, it's free. Use that promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. When you guys do that, you guys will get a 50% deposit bonus. So if you deposit 100, you get an extra 50 as well. Once again, at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so tomorrow, NCAA softball tournament begins. Well, it began today, but really, the NCAA softball tournament, a bunch of the games, are all happening tomorrow in the regionals. We'll break it down for you guys, let you guys know how it's going to shake out. And I do tell you guys, you know, some of the top teams are Big 12 teams. Take a look first. Oklahoma is going to host Morgan State, Wichita, and A&M in their bracket in Norman. They are the number one overall seed, so it's awesome to see that they are the number one overall and will be able to host an NCAA tournament round. Also, from the Big 12 Conference, Iowa State is going to be playing against top 8 seed in Missouri. Well, if they can get that far. So tomorrow it's UNI and Iowa State. UIC is going to play Mizzou. So we'll see how things go. That is the 8th seed. So Iowa State is going to be in that. Stillwater region, Oklahoma State, they are hosting their number 5. They host Campbell, Mississippi State, and Boston. So they are going to get a chance to host. Austin is hosting a regional. Not a chance to host a super regional because they're not top 8. But to be able to host, we've got Texas, Texas State, Oregon, and then STRAPA. They host them, St. Francis, Pennsylvania. They are also in this bracket as well. Baylor is going to be in Gainesville to play against Florida SEC champions. So they have been sent there. That's also the last Big 12 team we had to tell you about. So five Big 12 teams, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, and then Baylor as well. All 5 of those teams on the same side of the bracket, believe it or not. So they could face off in various capacities. Now Baylor, if they were able to get out, would avoid them. Oklahoma State and Texas could play in the next round if those teams both hold serve and win. Iowa State, we need to upset Mizzou and upset a couple more teams if they were ever to reach Oklahoma. But all those Big 12 teams are on the same side of the bracket. The only ones that are going on right now is the Tempe region, where Arizona State, Southern Illinois, Virginia Tech, and BYU were all in action. And I believe that is because BYU cannot play on Sundays, so already they're already off and running on that part of the softball tournament. All right, that will do it for today's show, and also it's the last weekend of college baseball regular season, so check that out as well. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.